I'm going to do the Bible reading tonight, but before I do, I just wanted to say a big thank you to Brett and Vic for your ministry and your friendship, and we're really going to miss you a lot. Okay, so the Bible reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start from verse 39 and go through to verse 56. So that's Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Hey everyone, I'm very thankful that I get to do this. One last time, hey? Can you do me a favour? Next year, when I'm not here, show up with your Bibles. Yeah? Like, be like, "Ha ha ha, Brett's not here and look what we're doing, we're showing up with our Bibles." Please, yeah? For those of you who showed up with your Bibles tonight, open them up, you get a gold star or something. No. It'd be great if you have a Bible open in front of you, and we can't give you the ones. I'm saying that because at COVID, you can't pick them up out of the pews at the moment, can you? And so please, next year, bring your Bible, continue to look at it, and make sure that what this person, whoever they are standing here, says is true. All right? Good. All right, let's get stuck into this after I pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that when we do read it, it reveals truth to us, that it shines brightly. Thank you that when we read your word and we remember the wonderful news of Christmas, we get to meet you, who you are, mighty, holy, merciful, and that we get to see all that you've done to provide for your people and the purposes that you have been playing out from well before, well, eternity. Thank you so much that tonight we get to be reminded of how great Christmas is, that this is it. That when we think of Christmas, we can think of how it is that you stepped into history in order that we can have a relationship with you. Might that cause great joy within us. Might our souls be stirred, our spirits rejoice at the idea of the coming of the Lord, because it's happened and continues to happen as Christ dwells within us. Amen. How good is it to sing, huh? I don't know, I've been looking forward to that for some time. And yep, the government was pretty friendly, huh? But I don't know about you, carols sometimes I have some mixed feelings about. As in, sometimes singing the carols, I'm like, woo, I love it, because you read the carols, they are rich with theology. But sometimes the tune and the, you've got to get up there, and it can be hard. By the time you finish a carol, you can barely stand up because you're lightheaded, yeah? Carols, they have sort of those mixed, and then there's the carols that seem to not really connect at all with the Christmas message. Here, I'll give you some that you might like to sing sometimes. They sort of stir something though, don't they? "Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring ting tingling too." What's next? "Come on, it's lovely weather for a..." No, we'll stop there. And then there's "Dashing through the snow in a one horse..." All right, stop. "Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer..." We could keep going. "He had a very what? Shiny nose." They're lovely. They sort of stir something in us. But even those, do you sing them? Do you like them? Maybe you just hum them at this time of year as you walk through the supermarket, or you're one of those humbug people that's like, nah. I love a good song. I love to sing. I do. I think many of us really do because it stirs something, particularly if we sing a song that matches so much with how we feel, so much with how we think and function. In fact, I like it so much more when it's real, when it matches with reality itself and it feels like I'm singing about the truth. A song like "Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let heaven and earth and nature sing." See, at Christmas, we can sing all sorts of songs. And we can sing of the trimmings. We can sing of the wonderful trimmings because, let's be real, that picture, that's not our reality, is it? Dashing through the snow. How many of you have done that this past week? Jingle belling and red nose looking. No, we haven't done that. So we can often sing of the trimmings and those little things and miss the triumph at Christmas. See, what is it at this time of year that really prompts proper praise? What is it that makes you want to sing praises like Mary just did? Because what we read just then was Mary's, well, it was the first ever Christmas carol, wasn't it? And what does she do? Well, she expresses praise like a Christian should. Her soul, her spirit, her very being stirring so that she just bursts out with this praise. It's kind of like when you see a kid running up to that Christmas gift that they can't wait. This morning, when the kids actually got their gifts, it was very, very cute. Eve was here and she had the bag and she opened up and she went, "Toys!" Like as in she was so amazed that there was toys and she was like showing these guys here the toys that she had. That's the sort of soul, spirit, joy coming out. That's what happens to Mary. Did you see it? Verse 46, "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." But why? It ain't jingle belling and reindeer smelling. I just thought of that because it rhymed. It's not that that causes her to sing like that, is it? See, what Christmas does and what causes her to sing is that, well, Christmas reveals and it shines God's person and his works, doesn't it? Who he is and what he has done and does, his might, his holiness, his mercy, and so his provision and his purposes. Joy to the world. The Lord is come, let earth receive her King. This is what Christmas says and shines. Is that what it shines to you? Like, really? Is that why you sing? Why you sang just before and will, I hope, later on in the service? Or has Christmas become like that set of stories that we just repeat each year? You know, just sort of just go through the motions. That's right, we understand there's the virgin birth and all that other stuff. Well, actually, no, there's the virgin birth, guys. Or has it become as real as dashing through the snow with jingle bells, jingle belling? Maybe a nice feeling. It stirs a little something in you, but it's fleeting. A moment of sentimentality, but airbrushed so that we sort of feel of something, but it's removed from reality altogether. See, Christmas is meant to be soul-shaking. Christmas is meant to be world-altering. That's what's meant to cause praise, yeah? I mean, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Why? Well, have a look what she says. She sings beautifully of who her God is. "For the mighty one," verse 49, "has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." She sings of his person, his attributes, who he is. Mighty, holy, merciful. That is worth singing about. So let's start with mighty. What does she say? "For the mighty one has done great things for me." And I'd say, really, when I look at Christmas, it's pretty humble, isn't it? It's humble birth. Like, look at it. Even when it's airbrushed, it looks a bit sad. In a stable, animals all around, Reuben wouldn't be happy in that sort of a way to sleep. It'd be rough. But you see, Christmas is the greatest impossibility of all impossibilities. The greatest impossibility made possible. Do you remember Mary's story? Remember the angel comes to Mary and is like, "Don't be afraid." She's like, "Ah, but don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." That's what he said to the shepherds, actually. But he comes to Mary and he's like, "You're going to be with child. Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to bring a child to you." And she says, "That's impossible because I'm a virgin. How can that be?" But then later on we see right at the end, verse 37 of that story, the angel says to her, "Nothing is impossible with God." The greatest impossibility of impossibilities is made possible at Christmas. That's what's wild about it. Because who is Jesus? Like, get your theological, Get your Glenn Culling head on, all right? Just chuck that doctrine head on right now. Jesus, the uncreated, unbegotten creator of all things, who was and is and always has been, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God himself, that person became a single cell. Do you understand what I'm saying? A single, you know, all of you started as a single cell at conception. When the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, a single cell. The weakest a human being can ever possibly be, how we all started. And then in a womb, he was physically formed and molded. And then he was birthed and he grew up to become a man. And at a man at about my age, he was then physically tormented and torn, cursed upon a cross. What weakness! How is that mighty? See, but in that moment, he is powerfully displaying his reign over death. He is powerfully displaying his rule. And then he rose victoriously, didn't he? He became a single cell to go to that solitary cross. That is power. That is majesty. That is the mighty one, is it not? Joy to the earth. The Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. You see, the Creator became like us. That's mental. That's crisp. What might? What majesty, what power to be able to do that. It's impossible, isn't it? Is it possible? Like, do you believe it at Christmas? Because if you don't, Christmas is pretty weak. But the mighty one, he has the power to do this. Nothing is impossible with God. This is the God of Christmas. The mighty one, powerful, but also holy. Do you see that? Because what did it say? She sung, "Holy is his name." Holy. Holy. When you think of holy, what do you think? Well, it's completely other is the way the Bible presents it. Separate, set apart, perfect, right, always right, unable to sin. And holy is his name. This idea of the name is that's what defines him. He is defined as holy. So if you think light and darkness, he is all light. There is no darkness. So many of you know, actually, do you guys know I grew up in Lithgow? I grew up in Lithgow, in case you didn't. And Lithgow is hot for a very short period of time, but it gets hot. And so when you live in a place where it's hot only for a short period of time, your houses aren't always that well catering for hot days. So there's not air conditioning or anything like that. And so what you do is you close all the curtains, you make it as dark as you possibly can in like one room in the house, and everybody goes in that room. You can't see anything, you can't do anything, but it's cooler, so it's nice. What happens when you walk outside into the 40-degree heat with the sun blazing, though? What happens? It's like bang, isn't it? You just, whoa. That's Jesus. Now, he wasn't glowing in the manger like the nativities present, but he was the exact representation of God in the way that eyes can see. He would have been pink still, not glowing pink, a baby, but filled with the glory of God. He is holy. He is the one who could have come, and if he chose to judge perfectly, to wipe out the darkness if he'd chosen to, because he is the one who can bring justice. He had the power. And he had the right. He could have done that, but he didn't do it that way. Light stepped into darkness, into this mess. Light stepped in to this unholy place. Why? Well, verse 50. It has to be verse 50, and it has to be the third point. His mercy. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. You see, our God had the right. He had the power to bring justice, and he did bring justice, but at his own expense, didn't he? For his mercy extends to those who fear him. See, there is no reason a holy, perfect, always right God, who is mighty and all-powerful as well, could not just destroy the darkness. That sounds pretty somber, I know. It's Christmas, bro, come on. But for mercy, which is why Christmas is so good. See, justice, it makes sure of this through his mercy. See, no more let sin and sorrow grow. Joy to the world. Nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make blessings flow, far as the curse is found. And I love how Tim Keller pulls this all together. He says, God, powerful, holy, merciful. That is what we see when we look at Christmas. Holy, which means he must do something. He is perfectly just. And we all long for justice, don't we? And he is perfectly just, so he must do something. Merciful, though, so he wants to do something. Powerful, he can do something, so he came and he did it at Christmas. See, Mary's story, it shouts. She sings the story of how it is that God works. She sings it, and her story is actually like an illustration that we then step into, because she draws all of us, every person, into her song by detailing his works. Verses 51 and following, that's what it shows. It shows his works, his story, his provision and his purpose. Have a look, firstly, well, just read it with me. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. Now, as you read that or heard it, sounds like the past, doesn't it? When really she's speaking about the future, about what it is that will happen because of this one coming, because of Jesus coming. But she is so certain that these things will happen that she can speak of them like they're from the past. So certain. Why? Because this is how her God works. This is what her God does. This is the way that he deals with his all people. And did you notice it reveals like this reversal? Check it out. It says, he has brought down rulers and lifted up the humble. He's scattered the proud. He's filled those hungry with good things and sent the rich people away empty. See, the Bible tells us, and Mary sings a song that says, our God isn't bound by the attitudes of humanity. You know, celebrate the rich and make sure they're lifted up. The proud, the ruler, the rich, the fool. Those who think they've got it all, you will leave the party empty. But the humble, the weak, the poor, the hungry, empty. Those who know their need, you will never leave the party at all. I love food. It's one of my favorite things in all the world. Like, if I get a good piece of food, you'll probably hear me like, praise the Lord. As in, I'm genuine when I'm doing that. Food is great. And so Christmas is one of those times where it's awesome because you get really good food, don't you? But I remember growing up, we'd often have to go to church in the morning and then we'd travel down to Sydney because my grandma just lived around the corner here, actually, over near Woolies. And so we'd drive down and you'd open up the door and you'd walk in and you'd smell the Christmas dinner. And what would my tummy do at that point? It'd be like, come on, let's eat. It told me I was hungry. It would grumble, it would groan, it longed, it was hungry. We rarely feel that though, do we? Rarely do we really feel deep, real hunger. But Christmas is for the hungry. It's for those who fear him, who find that they have a need. So if Christmas isn't then what Mary sings of, well, Christmas will only ever be like this airbrushed version, a desire to dash through the snow but find yourself on the scorching sand down at Cronulla. You'll get the smell of that great Christmas dinner, but you will be left hungry if this is not what Christmas is. But Christmas is for the hungry. But you've got to feel the hunger. I reckon that's really difficult for us. Most of you, I'd imagine. I don't think there's many people in this room who would say that they go a few days without. If you are one of those people, welcome. The gospel is so for you. But most of us are so full, aren't we? Full of ourselves, full of food, full of pride. We're full. We're pretty full, which can make it hard to acknowledge our need, to recognize our spiritual need, that there is an almighty God who is holy and we are in need of his mercy because his mercy extends to those who fear him. And you need this mercy because it's glorious, guys. You're poor. Fear him. Know how desperately you need him. That's what fearing him means. I fear being apart from him because of how good and glorious he is. It's to the point that that's what Mary gets. She's like, how can this be? This is impossible that you would give this to me. No, not with this God. And then watch as he pulls all things together. And that's what prompts her praise even more because his purposes are being played out in, well, nearly full. Look at verse 54 again. So he has helped his servant Israel, important Israel, his people, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. You guys know Abraham, old mate, Father Abraham, how he had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. Some of you know that song, many of you don't. That's good, good. Abraham, the story goes, was plucked out of his own people and said, God said, you're going to be my own, and from you, I'm going to make a nation. From you, I'm going to, in fact, actually bless all the world. How? Through a single cell. One seed, one child that would then grow, and then from that seed came Jesus. The promise was that a single cell would change the world, and Mary was living in a world that needed changing. She was living in a world that wasn't even looking all that great. Like, it was dark for Mary when this message came to her. This was a time for Mary and her people where Israel had been uprooted up out of their land. They'd been taken to this other place. They'd been exiled. Their hometown had been destroyed. And then when they return home only for Rome to come in and to be oppressing them, oppressing them, oppressing them. Israel at this point is like that house. You know when you're driving down past a house that you know has amazing Christmas lights on it, but like the street lights are out, that's out. It is just dark. You see, there was 400 years where there was no word from God, nothing for these people. They're thinking, are we left? Like, what's going on here? And it's been thousands of years since the promise made to Abraham. Surely, God, you've forgotten. Surely, your plan's not really working out. What about today? 2,000 years since the coming of Christ. I reckon in our context, in our world, the lights have slowly sort of flickered and just gone out. The house isn't shining so bright when it comes to this idea of Christ at Christmas. Over those 2,000 years, it's been pretty obvious that a bit of a roof has been built over the top of Christmas. A roof that's keeping that sort of that supernatural idea out. We'll keep that up away there. Let's take those lights down and maybe even just take them inside. And you can put them on your own tree. You can enjoy celebrating Christmas your way, but that's it. Privatized, sentimentalized, airbrushed, and definitely commercialized. We've wrapped that thing in wrapping paper too so that we can sell Christmas. But that wasn't the point. Christmas was this promise that would change the world. And guys, this is it. We have to see that. Mary exclaims, her soul and her spirit cries out, this is it. This is Christmas. Christmas is the lights all displayed brightly. Christmas is not just us. Christmas is the roof torn off that house and God saying, I'm going to come down and sit in your lounge room. That's what happens at Christmas. Heaven dropping into your home, coming in. God stepping into our homes and then into our hearts, those of us who are poor and hungry and needy and know it. Needy people like you, like me, who cry, this is it, it has to be it. Now, you may not like singing. You might be one of those people that doesn't like singing. That's okay. I'm not saying you've got to be a massive singer. But if you're a Christian, your soul, your spirit, it should burst out somehow in praise if you get that this is it. Christmas, the incarnation. Because like, you know, without this God coming, mighty, holy, merciful, without this God's purpose and his provision for the poor, there is no cross, there is no grave, there is no resurrection, there is no joy to be had in this world. And that sounds incredibly dark and somber, doesn't it? Except that this is it. Praise God for Christmas, that he rules the world with truth and grace. And makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love. And wonders of his love. The wonders of his love. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I love a song I can sing along with because I feel the words, that they reflect exactly who I am, how I feel, but more than that, what is real. And so I think it's fairly fitting that we sing Joy to the World. And so these guys are going to come up and they're going to actually lead us in a slightly different version of Joy to the World. So get into it, sing it. You can sing today. And when it gets to the and wonders of his love, or that part, it'll be a little bit different. So just prepare yourself for that and you'll pick it up very quickly. All right? Let's sing.
Please stand with us.